Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to another edition of Life Behind Bars. I'm Noah Rothbaum, the Daily Beast half-full editor. Joining me, as always, is my colleague and co-host, David Weinrich.
Howdy, Noah.
How are you doing, Dave?
I'm recovered, I think, by now. You and I were both down in New Orleans not too long ago in July, in the height of New Orleans summer, running around like crazy people, talking to every human being that we know, and drinking way too many drinks. But
for Tales of the Cocktail,
every year.
But I have to say, maybe we're gluttons for punishment, but I'm already missing New Orleans. You know, it's one of those things is almost as soon as I leave Louis Armstrong Airport. I mean, first of all, how great of a name is that for an airport,
I know.
We leave Louis Armstrong Airport. I have a muffaletta, you know, in my bag for my wife.
Oh, you're a smart man.
The vegetarian with cheese version. And if I don't have the muffaletta, I don't come home. But, you know, as soon as I'm on the flight, I'm already missing New Orleans, I have to say.
Well, I have a kind of a funny muffaletta story, if I can just quickly
throw it in. Sure, please.
And it involves a bar in New Orleans, which...
Fancy that.
You know, what a surprise. I was at this bar, Harry's Corner, with my wife. It's a bar in the French Quarter, kind of divey.
Sure.
As many of them are. And
as you like.
We're talking to a bunch of people, and Karen, my wife, is talking to these two women. I go over to play the jukebox. One of these women worked at the Central Grocery, which is the home of the muffaletta.
Absolutely.
And she was one of the counter ladies there.
Wow.
Which is a job of great responsibility, importance, and prestige in New Orleans.
Absolutely.
You know, if you're making the muffalettas at Central Grocery.
And Central Grocery is like the last bastion of like New Orleans, like
kind
like Little Italy in the French Quarter.
Yeah, and it's like the place with the muffaletta.
If I close my eyes and I'm in there, I think I'm on Arthur Avenue in the Bronx.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally the same, you know.
Yeah, and it's across from the French Market, too,
exactly.
Which is just funny. I mean, it couldn't be more New Orleans, but it couldn't be more Italian-American. It's a weird place. Anyway, so I'm over there playing the jukebox, and I hear Karen say loudly, "I can't kiss you on the lips, Clara. That's my husband over there."
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, they have a sporty take on life in New Orleans there.
The little known fact is that the muffaletta is an aphrodisiac. So,
yeah, well, you know, also anything can happen in a New Orleans bar.
That is for sure. I've seen a lot.
And I mean, that's always been the case. One of the ways I amuse myself in this veil of tears is collect history of New Orleans bars.
And you have done yeoman's work digging through literally centuries worth of history to write a concise, amazing history of the old Absinthe House, which is still going today.
Well,
in the French
Corner. Concise, you mean like approaching 20,000 words.
Right. But I think the first one starts, I think, literally New Orleans doesn't exist. It's a swamp.
Yeah.
Right. It's the French have just come. Like there's literally nothing there.
Okay.
It's,
I got a little carried
it's
away.
Mud, there's typhoid. Yeah. There's mosquitoes. There's retaining walls that are being built. There are swamps. What, 400 years ago?
I think you got to kind of begin in the dream time with New Orleans, you know, because it's such an unlikely place for a city.
It shouldn't exist.
It shouldn't exist.
I mean, it should never have succeeded.
No, it's a piece of like slightly higher dirt in the swamp.
It's dirt from, which I learned from your story.
Yeah.
Dirt from the Midwest that basically travels down the Mississippi and washes up.
Yeah.
And that's how New Orleans was formed.
And,
right?
You know, I mean, the dirt washed up and then they put a bar on it.
Right. That literally, as soon as there was enough dirt to support
you could put a bar
top and a stool, it opened.
It opened. I mean, the history of New Orleans bars goes way back, and there's so many famous ones. Going back to the Hewlett's Exchange, which was the first fancy bar in the French Quarter. There was the Gem Saloon that ran for 100 years and was this amazing place on Royal Street. The Sazerac House. I mean, that gave us the Sazerac cocktail.
That's a whole other episode that we have.
A
history so complicated, literally.
Oh my God.
It deserves, and we actually did that episode. So,
and that'll break your brain.
It breaks my brain.
It's broken better brains than mine by far.
But still, I mean, unbelievably important. I think there's a parking garage where it was.
Yeah. But I mean, that was one of the fancy drinking saloons in America. There was the Jewel of the South. Now resurrected, or now there's a tribute bar to it by Joseph Santini. That's an amazing bar. There were all these jewel bars, the Gem, the Ruby.
I love it.
It's fantastic. There was Henry Ramos's bar.
Where
you got the Ramos Gin Fizz from, where they served thousands and thousands of them in a week during Mardi Gras.
I still always have to have one when I'm in New Orleans.
Yeah, I somehow slipped up this time and missed my opportunity, and I feel really bad about that.
It's not a drink that I want often. It's kind of like pesto for me. Yeah. I want it once a year. I want a really, really good one, and then I'm good.
Well, if I have one, then I want another one soon.
Right.
Because then I remember how good they are.
Right. And I mean, it's a really interesting drink because if it's made right, it has about 3 or 4 inches of like an egg white foam. But delicious. Yeah. It doesn't taste like egg white.
No.
It should not taste like eggs, right?
No, it's lightly aromatic with fragrant with gin and orange flower water, you know?
Right. Or rose water. Orange flower, I guess.
Yeah, orange flower, yeah.
Which really makes a huge difference. Yeah. It's one of those you read the recipe, you're like, that sounds like a pain. I'm not going to put it in. You need to put it in because that's what really makes the drink.
That's the final touch. And, it's what makes it so kind of aromatic and delicate.
And that's a real New Orleans
drink. Yeah, and that was an amazing bar. There are so many fantastic bars in New Orleans that are old bars that are still open.
Yeah.
Two Jacks is an old bar.
Oh, yeah.
And that bar goes back to the 1850s, 1860s.
Yeah, sort of the other end of the quarter, like near, not far from Esplanade
past
the Central Grocery Market and past the Café du Monde and their famous beignets. And
there are also some really some amazing newer bars. There's like this raft of bars from the 70s that are still great, like Fritzl's Jazz Bar, opened by a German guy on kind of a right where Bourbon Street starts to get quiet,
right?
And then it's the last outpost, and it's they play old style jazz. It's one of there are only two bars maybe left on Bourbon Street that still play jazz.
Right.
The rest it's Led Zeppelin covers or Achy Breaky Heart played live for your delectation, or guys playing Woodstock, the movie style blues with lots of electric guitar. But these guys, you've got a piano and horns and playing the hell out of live jazz. And that place was started by a German guy who came to New Orleans in the 60s and thought it was cool. And he said, I'm going to stay. And he liked jazz. And so they still, it was the bar that gave us Jägermeister. Because Sidney Franks, the story goes, it's very hard to confirm this, but the story goes, and I've heard this, many times from various people, that Sidney Frank, the famous importer, wandered into Fritzl's one night, saw everybody was drinking this stuff.
I've always heard the story happening in Yorkville in New York, but like I could see it also happening down there. But Baton Rouge, though, like the Advocate, writes a very early article. Jaeger that then Sidney reprints and sends to every newspaper in
America.
That's
interesting.
So like, and that definitely happened.
I just found an article from the 80s talking about how it first came to America in the mid-70s, and then it blew up in New Orleans.
Interesting.
So, it's hard to research this stuff because people weren't paying that much attention at the time.
Yeah.
But Fritzl's is still going strong. I was there the other night, and, it was a blast, live jazz. There's the Aaron Rose, and Molly's at the Market, both founded by this guy, Jim Monahan.
And he was
a famous French Quarter character in the 70s, 80s, 90s.
Aaron Rose, home to the frozen Irish coffee, which, is delicious.
Oh my God!
On a very hot day, you can get a float of any alcohol you want on top of it, and they also have Miller High Life, which is my favorite, on very cold bottles.
I wouldn't put that in my frozen Irish coffee.
But you have a frozen. You can't have too many frozen Irish coffees. I have to say, it's like eating
You can't. No, I've only ever managed one. I've got to say,
it's
I've seen people drink.
Yeah, many. I mean, it's like eating kind of like a pint of ice cream that's melted plus it's booze. True. But I'm not saying that I couldn't do multiple in a day. I just think in a row, you need a break.
No, yeah, you need a break.
And what's nice is now in the back is Killer Po' Boys, which makes delicious po' boys. They have a standalone shop, too. But, I mean, it's kind of amazing. I mean, when you're drinking in New Orleans, you're drinking history. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, all these places are old. Some are older than others. The old Absinthe House is the oldest of them all.
I mean, you told me that you wanted to write about the old Absinthe House, and I thought... Why?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been there. I mean, it's been plenty of hours there.
Right? I never was very impressed by that place.
It's a corner, it's sort of Bourbon, almost Canal, right?
Yeah.
It's one block from Canal, sort of the beginning of the
French beginning of the tackiest part of Bourbon Street with just crowds of sort of not very happy looking people stumbling back and forth.
You know, it has walls covered with business cards. You know, there are plastic cups of beer.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's not like...
It's a place where you get Bud Light and shots of Jameson
and
or Jim
Fernet
Beam.
Or Jaeger there, probably.
Yeah, probably Jaeger.
Wild Turkey.
It's not a distinguished bar when you walk in.
So, yeah, I mean, when you were like, okay, I want to write about this, I thought, okay, that's interesting. But what's fascinating about it is... Probably 11 years ago, the first time that I went there, I looked into the back room because I didn't know where I was going. And there are these amazing old absinthe fountains that don't work in the back room, or they didn't at the time. And I thought, where the hell am
I? Those had just been returned there, it turns out.
Right.
I mean, the story of this place is just crazy because it was founded in 1841, although... Then, as far as I could tell, although then they said 1836, then 1826, then 1807, then 1752.
At a certain point, basically anybody who was famous and alive in about a 150-year period supposedly drank there, right?
Yeah. They've got a marble plaque with everyone's name outside.
It's like every inn and tavern and broken down, stable in the Northeast, supposedly George Washington slept there, ate there, drank there, right? But literally everybody is supposedly...
I mean, there's Doug MacArthur, it's everybody. I think even Howdy Doody's on there.
But the most... I love, though, that the only person that you could confirm that was actually there was O. Henry.
Yeah.
Right? The short story writer, which is the most random thing.
Well, he loved the Sazerac cocktail. It's
so
funny.
Bizarre.
He that man liked to drink.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Amazing short stories if you ever read them.
Oh, yeah.
I think about the one where the woman drops her, wedding ring into the hopper of donut dough. And they have to have a contest where they're selling donuts 2 for a nickel until they find the ring or something. I mean,
He had so many stories.
Yeah.
And the ones that you don't hear so much about were pure sporting life.
Oh,
because he was a sporty guy.
Yeah.
He also did time. He lived. Yeah, he had quite a life. But he definitely loved the Absinthe House. It was the most famous bar in America in 1900.
And was for decades.
Yeah. Yeah, it was everybody had to go and have an absinthe drip at the Absinthe House.
Right.
And they dripped the water out of their marble fountains.
Right.
And it was an old neighborhood bar run by Catalans, by Spanish for the neighborhood when it got discovered. And it was suddenly it's like everybody has to go here.
Right.
You have to go. You haven't lived if you haven't had an absinthe drip at the old Absinthe House and a Sazerac at the Sazerac House and a Ramos Fizz at Ramos's Imperial Cabinet or Stag's.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
As a side note, one of my favorite items from your story, your epic story, is that when Henry Ramos, during Prohibition, he and his brother, right, started paint company.
Yeah.
And what do they call the paint company?
The Gin Fizz, J-I-N-P-H-I-Z-Z paint company.
If anybody has a can from the Gin Fizz paint company.
I know, right?
I really want one.
I want one.
I mean, like, I wonder what the, like, what were the colors like, you know what I mean? Or were they really, were like the paint cans, I kind of hope, were filled with maybe alcohol? Like, were they like.
You would wish, but.
I mean, I don't.
But, you know, he didn't have to go into the bootleg business because he was a very rich man.
Right.
When Prohibition came, he was the only guy who just shut his bar. He sold everything.
And it sells for a lot. Like, you know, I mean, there's really, you know, very fine, you know, accoutrements.
Oh, yeah. And he auctioned everything off.
Right.
And he was done because he had made so much money in real estate.
Interesting.
He was a real estate investor, and he was a very good businessman.
Yeah.
Rather than my favorite story about him is he went through so many eggs because his Ramos Fizz needs an egg white.
Right.
He bought an egg farm north of New Orleans, and it was one of the biggest egg farms in the country.
And then, like, doesn't he start, like, an omelet restaurant or something?
No. He had a free lunch at the Ramos. At his bar. And he had egg yolk omelets because you need an egg white for the drink. And then he says, what if we make the sherry flip happen, a drink that needs an egg yolk in it? And so he's
talking about sustainability, right?
Yeah, he's always, you know. Or just ways to
grind up those shells and make the paint with
that. Yeah, that's right.
That's
right.
Where the paint company came
from. I mean, I think he was just finding ways to squeeze a dollar until it hollered, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, he was economies
of scale. Like,
Yep.
That's a vertical integration before Henry Ford was doing it. He was doing it.
His whole operation was vertically integrated.
Unbelievable, where the farm is making money off of the bar.
Yeah, and then he was selling dried egg yolks to bakers.
Is that true?
Like in huge bulk, you know?
And this is, we're talking about like, not like 1970. We're talking about like 1900.
Yeah.
Like 1890s, 1900s.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was
unbelievable.
Yeah, he was a very smart man.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's just crazy. New Orleans, all kinds of strange stuff happens.
Oh, yeah.
Pat O'Brien's bar. That's another classic that's still there.
Still there.
And that one was these two guys, they had been bootleggers, and they open a bar on St. Peter Street, which is one of the side streets. Just off of Bourbon Street, right?
Yeah. I always kind of forget exactly where it is, and then I stumble upon it at some point, and I'm like, wow, there it is.
There it is, and it's huge now.
Oh, yeah.
But when it opened, it was just another little French Quarter bar, but they had a front room and a back room, and there was a bar in each. Heard this woman, Mercedes, I can't remember her last name. She was working in the department store on Canal Street, one of the big department stores, demonstrating sheet music. And the way that job worked is you'd say, what does this song sound like, miss? And she'd put it on her piano and play it for you. And you go, oh, that sounds good.
And back in the day, Canal Street was like Fifth Avenue.
Yeah, right? it was a very fancy. It's been very run down. But
like the Ritz is an old department store.
That might be the very one she was working
those,
in, you know?
You know, and that was the old photos and people are really dolled up and, you know.
Yeah, it was a very fancy shopping street. Yeah. And she's doing this. She and her coworkers go out one night for a drink and they go to Pat O'Brien's, which one of them knew. And there's the piano sitting there. And so they talk her into playing the piano and she plays all night. Next day, she gets a call from Pat O'Brien saying, you know, can you come and work here instead of working there? Right. And we'll pay you a lot more. And so suddenly she's like super famous and she gets another woman to spell her. So they got two pianos in the back room.
That's true.
And they're just playing every dirty song ever recorded or ever thought of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not even recorded.
Pat O'Brien's now is famous for its like neon red hurricane, which comes in the hurricane glass, which sort of looks like a hurricane, you know,
a hurricane
like
lamp.
And I mean, now it's sort of they sell a mix and, you know, you can make it at home and it's a real.
As far as I could tell, you know, they didn't actually invent the drink is the funny thing.
Right.
They say they did, but they might not even know. Because it turns up around 1941 in a Ron Rico book, a little booklet, as the hurricane, right? And it says, use a special glass for this. It doesn't tell you what kind of special glass. during World War II, as we've said on another episode of this, if you wanted to buy whiskey from a distributor, you had to buy lots of rum.
Oh, yeah.
Because whiskey was allocated and rum wasn't.
And sought after.
Yeah, and whiskey was highly sought after. So I suspect some rum salesman went to Pat O'Brien and said, you got to take all this rum. What are we going to do with it?
Right.
Well, here's this one drink.
Mother of invention.
Yeah, and they come up with this. They take this Hurricane Punch, right, and they make it their own. It was just another recipe in a booklet. I've got a copy of the booklet. It's dated 1941, before they said they invented it. Then it's suddenly very popular.
And, you know, people get to keep the glass, I think.
Yeah, now the price of the glass is built in.
Right, I remember going probably 15 years ago. I had friends who had moved there, and I'd never been to New Orleans before. And they lived uptown. They said, okay, we're going to take you to the French Quarter, but only for one night.
Yeah.
We're not coming back. Don't, you know.
Yeah, this is it. No, so this is what you get.
Whatever you want to see, we're going to see tonight, and that's it. So I said, all right. I had no idea, really. I mean, I'd heard of the French Quarter, but I didn't know a lot about it, right? So we go to Pato's. I remember we order Hurricanes. They're very sweet. They're not undrinkable.
But they're very sweet.
Very sweet. Like the kind where you're going to feel it the next day, right? I mean, the alcohol, the sugar, right?
It's a diabetic shock.
Oh, for sure. And I remember there were three women who looked maybe like sorority sisters sitting at a table. One of them had already passed out, right? Sort of slumped over.
That's about right.
When you get the Hurricane, it's full of, pebbled ice. And you drink it. I don't know how much is in there, but it's really full of ice, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, these three, I'm not sure how many Hurricanes they'd had or how long they were sitting there. But at this point, and it wasn't very late, two or three of the glasses had just turned to total ice water. So the two of the women sitting at the table decided to wake up their friend by pouring this frigid water on her head.
Oh.
Which woke her up, to their credit. Yeah. It did work. She totally had no idea where she was.
Oh my God.
And then I think they ghosted. And I was like, New Orleans is one crazy town.
Yeah. Well,
this is a crazy town. And I kind of love it.
You know, things happen in New Orleans.
We left shortly after.
Yeah.
But I'd say the drinking has gotten a lot more advanced in New Orleans these days. You have both the yin and the yang.
Yeah, you can go to Pat O'Brien.
Absolutely. You can get that same experience.
You can go to the old Absinthe House, or you can go to
Glass of Beer.
To Harry's Corner and play the jukebox and hope that your wife doesn't get picked up from behind you by the counter person at Central Grocery.
There could be worse things.
I know.
You could cut the line then, of course.
Yeah, Central exactly. Grocery. I would
sometimes
always.
Sometimes the line is very long.
Yeah, it can be very long. It's true.
But on the other hand, your places like our friend Neil Bodenheimer and his spot Cure,
exactly.
On Ferret Street, which is sort of uptown, and
there's Cain and Table, which is
his other bar, which is
classic sort of rum bar.
Proto. They wanted to do a tiki bar, but Jeff Barry opened Latitude 29, which is another fine new bar. So Cain and Table is kind of what they call proto tiki. So
yeah, it's more like Latin American. There's also Monolito.
Oh yeah, sure.
There are a couple of old line bars of elegance and the bar at Brennan's I've always found to be delightful. There's
the Sazerac bar in the Roosevelt.
In the Roosevelt is a very nice, elegant bar.
Huey Long, I think, lived in that hotel for several years. There's a bullet.
God, I would live in that hotel. It's a beautiful hotel.
There's a bullet hole in the bar. I forgot who was shot at or who was shot there, but it doesn't matter, right?
It doesn't matter, really.
And that, to be honest, is so much of New Orleans, right? Whether or not this happened, whether or not this drink was invented was the Vucaré invented at the Monteleone? Who knows? Who am I to say? Yeah. Dave will say. I think that's what makes it such a wonderful town to drink in and to visit if you like cocktails.
I mean, there's stories everywhere,
And for sure.
You go to a bar like the French 75 bar at Arnaud's, you're sitting there drinking French 75s surrounded by carved wooden monkeys, and it's with fezes on.
Right.
And that's okay, that's decor.
And then upstairs is a museum. Have you ever gone upstairs?
Yeah, there's Mardi Gras type museum.
This crazy Mardi Gras museum, which I didn't even know existed until I think about a year ago, of all of the dresses that all of the queens of the different parades have worn over the years. I mean, it's just layer upon layer of history. I mean, it's like peeling back layers of paint, and one is crazier than
And, you know, the people there are also very aware of it and also very aware of marketing it.
Yes.
So,
well,
so
for sure.
Which is, it means you're not, you never know what kind of story you're going to get, you know, but it's always a good story, part number one. And to me, that's the, sort of the most fun part is, it's like, it's always exuberant, you know, and it's, it's always just fascinating and cool. And pound for pound, it has to be the greatest drinking city in America.
Absolutely. I mean, my one tip would be, go early in the week. You know, Bourbon Street is literally wall-to-wall people from about Thursday to Saturday
night. Don't play with that.
Zip your purses in bars, put your wallet in your front pocket. don't put your phone in your front pocket.
And, you know,
on those
after
weekend,
two hurricanes, switch to beer.
Yeah, probably is a good one. And avoid the hand grenades.
Yeah, don't drink those at all.
Yeah,
that's just grain alcohol.
Just keep away from the hand grenade.
And artificial fruit juice.
Cool cup. You know, usually like a green, giant plastic green cup.
Yeah,
I would stay away from there. Plenty of oasises.
There are plenty of delights. The Napoleon House we didn't even talk about, where they really only have two drinks, the Sazerac, one of the best in the city, and the Pimm's Cup.
Oh, yeah.
Because their owner didn't like the customers getting too drunk.
Right.
And what I like to do is I'll just have a strict alternation.
Yeah.
Sazerac. Which- Pimm's Cup.
And that bar just won the new Timeless Award of Tales.
You
co-chaired that committee to pick those bars.
Yeah, I was very glad to see it win. It was an award for bars that aren't craft cocktail bars, that are influential while not being the influential bars that don't have publicists.
I was a little disappointed, though, and I thought that the frozen daiquiri mango shop on the corner of Bourbon was Rob.
Well, that's also historic.
I hope that's on the short
future,
list for next year. I know
we'll get mango in there.
I just have to say, and some of the other drive-through daiquiri stands.
Those have all, you know, I think there should be a collective award.
Like Dave claims he's drinking at the Napoleon House and all these fancy
places. I'm really at Mango.
You're at Mango because I know, because I'm sitting right next to you.
Yeah.
So
you get a better class of people.
Oh, totally. Really. And you get all these different frozen drinks. So it couldn't be better. If you see us in New Orleans, don't be shy. Buy us a free mango cocktail there.
Or you know, a Sazerac.
Yeah, probably
that too.
Sure, Dave. Sazerac. Yeah, yeah. And he's winking now, but he really means a mango drink. So
a mango Sazerac.
mango Sazerac.
You know you want it.
I can't wait to go back. Cheers.
Cheers.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.